For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, February the 23rd, 2002. A women's conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Alberta Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister.
We come first thanking you, Lord God, because you're Lord and you're God. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege to be amongst fellow brethren. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the privilege to come to lift up your holy name. Father, we say thank you. Lord, we don't even have the complete words on how to thank you. But, Lord, the word that you've given us, Lord God, is thanks. So we just say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, because we know you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, we know you in the pardon of our sins. And, Lord, we come in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to glorify you, Lord God. We come to lift you up, Lord God, and you alone are worthy. Lord, I come in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, Father, I say we come, Lord God, presenting ourselves holy before you tonight, Lord God. Lord, we lift up hands before you, O God. Lord, let our hands be holy before you, Lord God. Lord, you said, Lord God, that we're to be holy as you are holy. We're to be perfect as you are perfect. And Father, we strive to get there, Lord God. We may not have reached there yet, but Lord, we're purposing, we're striving, Lord God, to reach the destination. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, that our minds are set, our hearts are fixed. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, that we neither want to look back nor turn back. In the name of Jesus, we come before the throne of grace. Lord, we thank you right now because before that throne, you say we have mercy. Lord, you said we have grace. You said we can find help when we need it. And Lord, we want to thank you right now, Lord, because we're coming for help, God. Lord, you said we can call upon your holy name. Lord, you're Jehovah. You're Jehovah, our help tonight. Lord, I thank you that your name means you're our salvation. I thank you, Jesus, that your name means that you're the Lord that saves us. I thank you, Lord, that you said your name unto us is Lord, my help. So when we call on your name, Jesus, we're saying, help us, Lord God. And Lord, we say thank you tonight. I thank you right now, Lord God, as I come by the every principality, power, and dominion that might try to hinder, stop, or entice the people of God. I bind every principality, power, and dominion that might hinder their hearing the word of God. I bind every principality, power, and dominion that might keep them from getting the truth of the word of God. Lord, open our ears, O God, that we might hear you. Open our hearts, O God, that we might receive you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we come. We come, Lord. You've been drawing us tonight. Lord, all day long, you've been drawing us to the throne. And Father, we thank you. We're coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. As I said earlier, Friday evening, praise the Lord, I love the word of God. I praise God. I thank the Lord because he saved me by his word. I thank and I praise God. I'm going to just give a quick little testimony. I'm going to just kind of go straight into it because I was just so blessed. Were y'all blessed this afternoon? I was so blessed. Praise God. But I'm Alberta Landry, for those that don't know me. My husband and I are from Beaumont, Texas. Praise God. And we've been in pastoralship now for 14 years. 14 years, 15 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. And I praise and I thank God for that. I thank God that he sent me a saved husband. I didn't have to get him saved because I couldn't save him anyway. Glory to God. But I thank and I praise God for a saved husband. I thank and I praise God. Didn't expect ministry when we got saved, but, you know, we believe in doing what the Lord say do. So I just praise and I thank God for everything he's called us to do. I thank God because we want to be obedient people of the Lord. And, you know, God has called us to obedience. He's called us to obedience. I said he's called us to obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Say hi. They stop at both. Praise God. I like to have fun. I believe the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I don't have a problem laughing.
Amen.
I don't have a problem smiling. Sometimes I think I smile too much, you know, because people think,
thank God smiling so much of it. I believe in smiling. You know, I like that. I like to smile, praise God. And I think it's a good thing for us to smile. You know, the Word of God says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Amen. And I praise and thank God for a merry heart tonight. I thank and praise God also because I just want to give a word of testimony too. Because Sister Coffey really touched on some things today. And I punched Sister Carol and I say, man, she all in my nose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless God. And I mean, it was so one on a card. You know, when she spoke, she said, the Holy Ghost. And I said, yeah, I know he did. Glory to God. I know he did. You know, and you know, then when she just topped it, when she said, well, he said he confirmed his word out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what I wanted to do, but I was cool. I said, yeah, you're right. Praise God. But I praise and I thank God. You know, the Lord, when I was asked if I would minister, I called several of my trustworthy people that I call upon for prayer for me. And I asked them, I said, y'all got to pray for me because I've been asked to go and minister at the camp. I'm not afraid to minister. But one of the things that the Lord delivered me of was timidity, shyness, inferiority, and all those type things. Can you tell that? You know, hey, I'm delivered, glory to God. Hey, what can I say? Hallelujah. But he delivered me of that. And I praise and I thank God for that. But who knows that whatever you've been delivered of, you will have to battle that enemy? Because the Word of God says he always comes back to the house that he left. And he wants to see if that house is clean, if he has a place to come back in. That's why we have to stay full of the Word of God. Full of the Word of God. You know, I think about what the Word of God says in John, first chapter, John, verse 14, where it says, Jesus was what? He was the Word in flesh. And that's the same thing he's calling us to be, the Word in flesh, not flesh in the Word, but the Word in flesh. Amen. Praise God. So I thank and I praise God, you know, because he delivered me. You know, he knew what I was going to be doing before I knew what I was going to be doing. I had no idea, probably never even wanted it if I think back now. But once I got saved, let me say it like this. Once I got free, because, see, I was saved when I was 13 years old, and I backslid until I was 31. And in 1981, you know, I had a good job, wonderful job, making good money, very good money. And I was fixing to buy a home, and I ended up having tonsil problems at age 31, and then going into the hospital, and I almost didn't come out. And I praise and I thank God because, see, I learned one thing about death. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like you. Death does not like you. The Word of God says, as saints of God, we go to sleep. Because when we die in the Lord, we go to sleep. Amen? So death doesn't like you. When we go to sleep in the Lord, we can say, hey, death, where's your victory? Glory to God, because it has no victory over a saint of God. But see, I wasn't a saint at that time. I was in the church. I was singing in three choirs. I was going to the prayer meetings. I was going to the Bible study. But I wasn't saved. I wasn't committed. And God is calling us to obedience. He's calling for that. But he not only saved my life. I was in the hospital 10 days. And on the seventh day, I had a visit from the Lord. And he came into my room. And they had me in a corner in the back in the dark. For 10 days, I saw no doctor. I never saw the doctor in 1981 till today. I have not seen even the surgeon that did surgery on me. I never saw his face. When they put me under, when anesthesiologist put me under, I didn't see the doctor before that. Until today, I have not seen that man's face. See, Satan has a plan, too. And he's out to destroy us. But God has a greater plan. And he's out to save us. See, we be saved. We're saved every day. You know, in Hebrews, the Word of God says today is the day of our salvation. You know, and every day that we walk in, it's our today. And I praise and I thank God because see, he saw me one day and he saw me laying in the hospital. And I didn't see all the good things I did. I didn't see the many times that I sang in the choir. I didn't see all the many times I was up there, you know, ushering when I had to usher or do all the other good things. I didn't see that. I didn't see the good times when someone needed some money or needed some food and I went and I took it to them, you know, because that was a good thing to do. I didn't see that. But I saw the sin that I committed against God. It was like a movie playing before my eyes, laying in a hospital bed and couldn't do anything for myself. You know, when you feel helpless, what do you do? And the thing was, I couldn't even speak. Because when I would try to talk, I couldn't talk. For 7 days, I couldn't even talk. And I would try to talk, and every time I opened my mouth, blood would just shoot out of my mouth. And there was one time I remember a bucket full just filled up, and I was so afraid. And fear grips you. I smell death and I tasted death. And I don't like him. I don't like him. And he doesn't like me. I say the feeling's mutual. The feeling's mutual. Praise God. But I thank and I praise God because on that seventh day, when I finally realized, Lord, I've sinned against you, God. Before anybody else, I had sinned against God. And that's something that we have to understand. Before you even recognize that you've sinned against somebody else, we have to understand that we are sinning against God. David cried out, you alone, O God. You alone have I sinned against. And I cried out and I said, Lord, I'm not even asking you for my life. But if you just save my soul, if you would just save me and not allow me to go to hell, I'd be satisfied. But he gave me both. Isn't it wonderful? That's the kind of God I serve. Praise God. And on that night, he came into my room and he patted me on my knee and he said, daughter, what are you still doing in here? And I looked at him and I was scared to talk. And he said, but in 3 days, you're going home. And in 3 days, I was going home. So God is a wonderful God. And when I walked out, he delivered me of the spirit of death. He delivered me of an adulterous relationship that I'd been in for 8 years. Not mine, somebody else's. But he delivered me from it. And I had no understanding in church all my life. And I had no understanding of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God like I learned after that day. See, God is a good God. And from that day to this day, I've been serving the Lord. And I've been persevering to want to know him better. See, God is calling us to intimacy with him. But we got to be obedient. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and start from my notes. Bless God. I'm going to try to teach. If I start walking, I tend to do that a lot. But I was going to say, Sister Coffee touched on some things today. When she started speaking, I nudged my sister. I said, oh, wait a minute. Hold up. I got to get. I'm like, hey, I'm going to tell her. Look, I don't have anything to say. What I'm going to say, you know? Because the Lord had told me Genesis. And he had told me the garden. And he had told me disobedience, sin, and sorrow. So, as the sister was ministering, I said, well, I guess I can scratch that one off. I don't have to read that. Scratch that one off. I don't have to read that. Glory to God. But the way the Lord took her, I'm going to go a different way here. But it's going to do this. Because that's what the word does. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right. The first chapter we're going to is Genesis 1. And I do run scripture, and I love it. I hope y'all love it too. Praise God. And I'm going to start with the 26th verse. I'm going to try to teach a little bit. I like to teach, and sometimes they say I preach, so I think I do both. Amen. Whatever. Whatever God says, you know. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and the word of God says, and God said, let us make man, or you can quote mankind, in our image. What is an image? I like to give definitions of words. It gives a good understanding. The Lord says, and all of you are getting a good understanding. Praise the Lord. So you're going to have, if you have a pen, I'm probably going to have a lot of scripture you're going to write down. And as I know the Holy Spirit loves to minister and give other scriptures. So that's on him giving other scriptures to you as we go through this. What is an image? An image is a copy of something. It's an imitation of the real thing. It's a counterpart. It's a picture of something. And he said, let us make mankind in our image after our likeness. What is a likeness? It's a similarity of something. It's a semblance. So God says, I want to make man that's going to be like me. And then he goes on and says, and let them. Let means to allow. I'm going to allow them to have dominion. What is dominion? Dominion means rule, authority, power. Amen? And he says, this is what I'm going to give them dominion over. I'm going to give them dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. And then he went on, he says, I'm also going to give them dominion over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Praise the Lord. Verse 27, the word of God goes on to say, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. If you haven't underlined that word him there, underlined it today. Because when he spoke man, he spoke woman and man. When he spoke him, he spoke woman and man. See, God's not divided. And when he made us in his image and he spoke us, he spoke us. We weren't even here yet, and he spoke us. See, God doesn't have afterthoughts, saints. He doesn't have to have afterthoughts. He's God. When he speaks his fact, it's good, and that's it. And he said, I'm going to make mankind in my image. Then he goes on and he says, he created him, male and female. Who is him? Male and female. Amen. Created he them. Him was a them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He told man in verse 28, and he said, God blessed. What does blessed mean? It means to make holy. He made them holy. He consecrated them in the garden. Now, we have to understand, this is before sin. This is before the fall. Amen? Then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Now, I looked up that word replenish. Because when there's a re before a word, that means something went on before this. So what does replenish mean? It means to make it full or to complete something again. So he's saying, I want y'all to do something. I want you to replenish this earth. God could have made every man, woman, boy, girl, everything right then. But he gave us, right off the bat, he gave us something to do. He said, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply. And I'm going to tell you something spiritually and naturally. Naturally, he wanted us to be without sin in the garden, multitudinous. Just multiply after multiply after, just many, many, many people. Without sin. Without sin. Praise God. In the spirit. In the spirit. He says, I want you to be fruitful. And I want you to multiply. That means we're supposed to be getting people saved. Because that makes the world replenish in Christ. When someone else gets saved. So he's telling the church. Church, you need to be fruitful and you need to multiply. He's not talking about all the gifts of the spirit. Come on now. He's not talking apples. He's not talking oranges. And he's not talking peaches. He's talking people. Saved people without sin. He's still saying from the beginning to now. Subdue this earth. Take control over it. Multiply yourself. Replenish this earth. Bring it back to the way it was in the beginning. Without sin. Hallelujah. See, he said he's coming behind a church. We are the church. But what is the church supposed to be like when he comes? Without spot. Without wrinkle. Without blemish. What is a wrinkle? It's a crack. It's a crevice. What is a blemish? It's a mar. It's a spot. It's something that needs to be cleared up. Now, they got clear seal for what they call pimples. Oh, get your pimple cleared up. Get some clear cell. But I'm telling you, we got something greater than that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I get excited about the word stuff. I look excited I am. I get excited. See, y'all don't know the battle I had to go through to get up here. Because, see, timidity and shyness still wanted to keep me from getting up here. But I thank God for the word of God because I tell the saints of God, hey, when I start speaking the word, they know they got to go. Hallelujah. They know they got to go. Praise God. I'm as bold as Paul was. Glory to God. And when I go back there, I might just be like, oh, God. But anyway, praise God. But he says, and have dominion, have rule, have sovereign authority, have power, have ownership over what? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, look. God said it was not just good. He said it was very good. But it was without sin that it was very good. That's why Jesus says, there's none good but the Father. So all of our goodness, all the good things, we might as well say, Lord, I want crowns, I want my jewels and all that, but Lord, I want to be saved. I want to be obedient. Because in the garden was the first sin of disobedience. That was the very first sin in the garden, was disobedience. Praise the Lord. In Genesis chapter 2, I kind of typed out some of the scriptures here because I started typing out. Jim typed his lessons out so neat, and I got type out here and I got scribbled back. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 18. Because we already know, and Sister Coffey brought it out eloquently about how they ate, about the tree of the good of the knowledge of good and evil. But in chapter 2, verse 13, and the Word of God says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good." Now, God made everything, and he said it was good. But he looked at mankind, and he said, it's not good that man is alone. Everything else that Adam saw had a mate. God put him there, and he says, "Adam, you name everything that's coming before you." And everything that came before him was male and female. Had a mate. But it wasn't time for the female of his gender, of his character, of his stature, of his creaturehood. It wasn't time yet for the woman to come forth. Praise the Lord. I tell people, I say, you know what? God had everything set out, everything prepared for us. It was all there. Amen. Praise God. I mean, everything you could eat was there. Didn't have to worry about clothes. It was there. You know, I mean, all the beauty was there. Your husband was there. Glory to God. I mean, you know, everything was prepared for the bride. And it's still being prepared for the bride. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Male and female, the bride. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." I looked up the word meet. Well, one thing when I was doing my search and study, the Lord told me, I said, "Well, Lord," I said, "you know, I got my concordance and I, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew and the Chaldean, the Greek, the Hebrew and all that." The Lord said, "I want you to look it up in the Aramaic definition." I said, "Oh, okay. Praise God." And he said in verse 20, the latter part, "But for Adam there was not found," in 2:18, then goes to 20, "there was not found a helpmeet." A helpmeet. I looked it up. It means exact phrase, and it came as a phrase. It didn't just like help and then meet. It was like a phrase. It was connected. It was together. Praise God. It was like one word. Helpmeet was like one word. And that word, that phrase was in the Hebrew, ezekenedo. Counterpart, suitable to him, someone fit for him, like him, equal to him, a helper. So God made this man a helper. Praise God. Now, I looked at the word made there. It was a different, it had a different meaning than create. When he made the woman, it's Esau. And it means to build, to make, to be made, or to restore. I said, "Whoa, that's awesome. That's something to think about." When he made the woman, he was restoring something. Something was, God said, it's not good. So that meant something wasn't right. If God said it wasn't good, something wasn't right. Amen? So he restored it. He made it right. So that when he said, "Oh, yeah, everything is very good." So he made woman for man, and he brought woman to her, to him. He brought her to him. Verse 25, and the word of God says, "And they were both naked, and they were not ashamed." They were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Now, I'm going to just give some definitions real fast. Praise God. Because I'm going to read chapter 3, some parts out of chapter 3, but I want to give some definitions before that. The word curse. Curse means to call down wrath, to send evil or injury down on some person or thing. A profane, obscene, or blasphemous. It's obscene, profane, or blasphemous. Expressing hatred, anger, vexation, and condemnation. Now, Word of God, we quote this scripture line upon line, precept upon precept. I hear that all the time. So one day I said, "You know what? I've never studied that. I've never searched that out. What does precept upon precept and line upon line mean?" So I'm going to give you some words tonight. Precept. Precept is a commandment or a direction meant as a rule of action or conduct. So when God says line upon line, precept upon precept, he means my commandment upon my commandment. The rules that I give, it's line in line. What is a line? To cause to come into row. To bring it into conformity. So when it's line upon line, precept upon precept, God's word does not change. His commandments does not change. He says, "I change not. Amen. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore." Amen. He hated sin yesterday. He hates sin today, and he will always hate sin. And the Word of God tells us we're to be like him. So I'm here to tell you, thanks God, you better start hating sin. Because when you start hating sin, we start obeying God. Because we have a desire to want to please him. We have a want to. Like Paul said, I press. All right. And then we want to press into the things of God. Yes, I want to obey Him because I love Him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I'm going back here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 3. And I'm not going to read all of chapter 3. I'm going to come down a little bit because we know that this conversation went on. We know all about that. But I want to get to the part where it says here in verse 6. He says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband who was with her, and he did eat. Now, first thing we see here that there's Eve. Well, she was woman. She wasn't Eve then. She was woman. Here's woman. And she's being beguiled by Satan. Beguile means just to be deceived. You look up deceived, you'll see the word beguile. If you look up beguile, you'll see the word deceived. So she was deceived. The word of God tells us that in Timothy. She was deceived. She was deceived. See, deception. Lord spoke to me the other day. He says, first deception comes. Then you become deceived. And then there's destruction. So deception came by the serpent. And then she was deceived by the half-truth, half-lie. The Lord is forewarning the body of Christ. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit by the spirit, and you will know if they're of God or not. Then he goes on to that next verse, and I love it because he said, because there are many false teachers, false prophets coming into this world, and even are in this world now. And he says he does not want us ignorant of these things. Praise God. But here is this woman, and she says, well, the fruit looks, I mean, whatever, it looks good, sounds good, probably going to taste good. And guess what else? It just may give me a little bit more knowledge. I mean, Adam's got every, God, Adam bestowed, Adam's the one called, naming all the animals, and Adam's the leader of the house, and Adam's this, and Adam's that, and, well, God, you got me. What's wrong with me? A little bit more wise. There's nothing wrong with it, but not through disobedience. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the word of God goes on to say, and guess what happened? When he did eat, and the eyes of them were both opened. Not hers first, then his, together. Instantaneous. And the word of God goes on to say, and they knew. What? Oh man, I don't have any clothes on. I'm naked. But see, it was something else they saw in their nakedness that was displeasure to their eyes. Because all of a sudden there was evil. All of a sudden they didn't just see good. Because before all they saw was good. All of a sudden, whoa, I see evil. And I don't like what I see. And here comes God. Here comes the one that supped with them and fellowshipped with them in the cool of the day. Now, did God know? Nothing God doesn't know. But he started walking. His voice started walking. And he said, Adam, where are you, Adam? Now I looked up the name Adam. Adam means mankind. Where are you, Adam? But they had hid themselves because they knew sin. They knew evil all of a sudden. And they knew that that evil should not be in the presence of an almighty God. They knew that instantly. Because he is all that is good. And all of a sudden, we got something that's not good, and we can't present that not good in the sight of a good God. So they hid themselves. And then their conversation went on. Praise God. To deceive, to ensnare, to mislead, to be false, to use, to lie. Deceive, to deliberately misrepresent facts by words or actions. To beguile. To use wild and enticing prospects in deceiving, to fool someone, to delude, to betray, breaking faith while appearing to be loyal. That's the definition of the word deceive. Sounds like some people we know. Sounds like some things we've done. What is sin? Sin is the breaking of religious law or moral principle through a willful act, the state of habitual violation of such principles. Any offense or fault to do wrong. Oh, it's just a little sin. No such thing. It's no such thing as a little sin. Oh, I just lied a little bit. I just told a fib. I told a story. And God says it's a lie. Amen. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. See, there are willful sins and unwillful sins. Sometimes we mess up and we don't even know we've messed up. But God has given us repentance. Hallelujah. He's given us a mediator. Glory to God. Oh, bless his name. In James 4:17, the word of God says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin to him. Sin separates us from God. Sometimes we wonder, where are you, Lord? Check out and see if I've sinned. Sometimes he'll allow you to be in a wilderness experience. Praise God. But all of a sudden, God's gone, and you're like, wait a minute. What did I do wrong? Check us out. Praise God. I thought about something. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I thought about, because in Timothy, the Word of God says that Eve was deceived, and she was in transgression. And I remember one time the Lord had spoke to me about sins, transgressions, and iniquities. So I'm going to give you some definitions. So I believe in us being knowledgeable people. God says, well, you know what? Ignorance is not bliss. See, the cliche is, oh, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. It's destruction. He said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. He wants us to have some understanding. He said, in all of your getting, get a good understanding. Glory to God. Wisdom is a principal thing. Hallelujah. Understanding helps that wisdom and solidifies that wisdom that God wants to give us. Hallelujah. Praise God. He wants us to be stable people. Not wishy-washy, talk to and fro, don't know where to go, don't know what to do, don't know when to do it. Come on now, saints of God. We're supposed to have a sound mind. The devil talks to the ears and you listen and you have a conversation with him. Why are you talking to the devil? The word of God says, you know my voice, God says, and no other voice will you follow. Some people can give you a whole conversation. You know, the devil told me this, and the devil told me that, and the devil told me this, and the devil told me that. You know what he told me the other day? You know what he told me yesterday? And you ask him what God says? Well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. Y'all love me? I love y'all. Praise God. Transgressions. I already gave you the definition of sins. Transgression. What is a transgression? To transgress, I'm going to start with the root word transgress. To transgress means to step over, to pass over, to break a law, to break a commandment, to go beyond a limit or a boundary. Saul said, Saul the king said, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. What is transgression? Transgression is the act or instance of transgressing. Praise God. The word of God goes on to say that the Lord was numbered with the transgressor. Bless God. Glory to God. I mean, they called him a blasphemer. They called him a wine bibber. They called him Beelzebub. Then they called him a transgressor. The Almighty. Glory to God. What is iniquity? And this is the one that really hit me. Iniquities. Glory to God. It says, not equal. When there's iniquities, you're not equal to anything. That's the depth. A lack of righteousness or justice. It means wickedness. To the depths of it. It means to be unjust or unrighteous. In Revelation 21:1, the word of God says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Those that still want to hang on to their iniquities, they will not even enter the gate. Won't even get, but you will not stand before the throne of God if you're in iniquity. If you're unjust at that final hour. Because God said, he said the whoremongers and what will be outside of the gate. Didn't say in the throne. Didn't say before the throne room. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be before the throne. I want to be there and say, here's my crown, God. Here's my crown, God. Hallelujah. I want to be down there. Holy. Glory to God. With the angels. Yes. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The word of God says in Psalm 6:18, he says, if I hold iniquity in my heart, he will even hear me when I pray. I believe that one of the greatest iniquities that we can hold on to is unforgiveness. Amen. Glory to God. I believe unforgiveness is an iniquity before God. He said he won't even hear us if we don't forgive. He said he won't forgive us if we don't forgive others. Oh, bless God. Praise God. In Isaiah 53, let's go there real fast. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to go back to Genesis. You set something on fire today, sister. Bless God. See, the enemy tried to intimidate me not to come and minister the word of God. I don't mean today. I don't mean yesterday. I meant a month ago. And I was battling almost every day whether I should be here or not. And I'm just being totally honest with y'all. Almost every day I battle whether I should be here today or not. I mean, I think the other day I told my husband, I said, I'm not going. I really did.
I sent the sheriff
back. I'd have came in. Praise God. But I thank it, I praise God. Because when my sister stood up, who I love, I just love Sister Coffee. When I first met her, I fell in love with that woman. Praise God. When she stood up and she said what she said, you know, the Lord, the Holy Ghost told me. Somebody said, I'm like, I want to hear what they got to say, you know. Glory to God. Then in Isaiah 53, and this we know this scripture, praise the Lord, but I'm going to just read some, we're going to start with the very first verse. We're going to start with that one. The Word of God says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Underline the word desire. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, underline sorrows, and acquainted with grief, underline grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, truly. When you see the word surely, definition means truly, verily, it's fact. This, I'm fixing to tell you something, that's for real. Glory to God. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted or troubled. But he was wounded for whose transgressions? He was bruised for whose iniquities? Our very depths of sin. He took it upon himself for us. That's love. That's real love. But it goes on to say he was chastised. The chastisement of whose peace was where? It was upon him. That means the chastisement we should be getting, he took it. You ever had a child and you say, come here, it's time. Come on, time to give it up. Lord chastises those that he loves. Time to give it up, come on. I'm doing this because I love you and you know that I love you. Mamas, those that are mamas, y'all know what I'm talking about. Those that are dads, know too. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
We are healed. Praise God. Chastised for our peace. He was taken from prison, bound, restrained, and he was whipped. He was wounded for our transgressions, our rebellion. Praise God. In our spirit, even. And he was bruised for our iniquities, for our perseverance, our depth of sin in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. 1 Peter 2:11. He was whipped. Praise God. You just write that scripture down. You can study it later for yourself. He was whipped for our sins in our body. He took stripes on his back for our body that we might be healed. And yet we don't receive our healing because our minds haven't been renewed to the fact to receive what he's already done. The enemy has fooled us. The devil's still lying to us. And we're still believing him. The other day, Sunday passed at church. I stood up and I had to testify for about 3 days. Jim had to work some overtime and our water came to the house. And I said, well, I'm not going to wait for him to come. I'll just go ahead and I'll put it in there, you know, let the water be getting cold, you know, because the little cooler was empty. So I went in there. You made me think of that too when I was... So I went in there and I picked it up off my side and I brought it inside. But then you know that thing, you know, stands up there and you have to kind of like toss that big old 5 gallon, you know. And I used to work out at Mobile, so I threw some things around. It's been a long time, but I used to throw some stuff around, you know. But I picked it up and I guess I must have moved the wrong way. And all in this, down that shoulder blade, I mean, it was like I do this and it was hurting. I couldn't sleep. I was tossing, I was turning, and I was like, oh, man, this hurt us. Oh, but by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And that's true. It's very true. But Sunday, I just tossed and I turned. I could not sleep. And I said, golly, what is the problem here? Thursday morning, I was standing there and I'm, you know, itching out the bed like this, you know, because I didn't want to hurt, you know. You know, pain, we have pain, we don't want to hurt. Glory to God. We don't want to hurt. We have pain, but we don't want to hurt. Praise God, but yet we want to hold on to pain. But anyway, praise God. So I'm fixing to try to get out the bed, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said to me, he said, how long are you going to hold on to your pain? And it was like, I knew I could have had a V8. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. Pain, you got to go. I don't want you. I don't receive you. And you don't belong in this body. You have to go. The Word of God says, if I believe, I receive. I said, Lord, I believe that I'm healed and I receive my healing now, right now, not tomorrow, not the next day, but right now. And I did this and I said, oh, ooh, woo, glory, hallelujah. You know, we got to test it. You know what I'm saying? We got to test it, you know. And I'm like, go, thank you, Jesus. I mean, just like that. Now I suffered 3 days. But the Spirit of the Lord says, how long do you want to hold on to? Praise God. Sister and I was discussing this, and I'm going to share this because I think it's a good little nugget. I like nuggets, and I like to give out nuggets, praise God, because he gives me back little nuggets. And I believe when God gives us little things from other saints of God, you know, that like, I call it gold. It's gold to me, you know, and I love it. So anyway, the Lord, I was riding with a sister, and I was giving my testimony. I picked up a church, and I was giving up my testimony. And I'm like, I said, you know what? I said, God is an awesome God. I said, you know what? Just like temptation comes. What does temptation come for? It's for you to yield to it so that you can sin. Temptation is not the sin. Your yielding to the temptation is the sin.
All right.
Well, all right, what does pain come for? It's to tempt you to receive whatever it's bringing.
Right.
What's the pain for? You know, she said, yeah, but they say if you, when you have pain, it's to let you know that something's wrong. They do say that.
Yeah.
They do say that.
Yeah, do.
Well, that lets you know something's wrong. Excuse me? You know, I'm like, well, wait, hold up. You know, I think he's a leader of the enemy to come in. He's leading you pain. Ooh, I got arthritis. I got this. I got that. I better go to the doctor to check it out. Okay, I'm going to get off this. But it's real, friends. We need to understand. Renewing of the mind by the word of God. He said, I would you do with prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. He covered every part of you in that one verse. Glory to God. He said, I want you healed because I've already made you healed. He said, I want you whole because I've already made you whole. But now we have to come to an understanding. Do I want to be healed? Do I want to be whole? Do I want to be delivered? Do I want to be set free? Do I want to walk in victory? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. See, this word of God, it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not a two-edged sword. It's sharper than.
All right.
Glory. It'll get in places that we know not of. But God knows. He'll get the root of matters that we don't even know there's a root there. But God knows. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like what my sister said. Hey, we need to take this like medicine. Morning, noon, and night. Just like we eat breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Amen.
Glory to God. This word can deliver. I like the word of God, where the word of God says when Jesus got up, he was in the synagogue. Amen? He was in the synagogue. And I'm getting all off here. But anyway, he was in the synagogue. And everything was copacetic, everything was cool, everything was fine. Nobody was manifesting at all. I could just imagine praise and worship him with all, you know, whole 9 yards. But then he got up. I'm talking about Jesus. And he went up to the podium. And he opened the book. And the demon said, ow, why did you come here to torment me? You man of God with authority. Glory to God. Praise God. See, we're supposed to walk in and the devil gets tormented. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They recognize us. Hallelujah. We always want to recognize them. No, they need to recognize us. Hallelujah. Bless God. And they need to recognize us as a woman and a man of God walking in the power and the authority that we have been given by Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. He needs to be running every time he sees a snake coming. Bless God. Woo! Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We let the devil run us. We're supposed to be on a race for Jesus. And here's the devil. Yeah, but I got to go. Praise God. We need to, if he's on your heels, stop and say, get away from here, devil. You don't have a place here. This is not your place. I don't belong to you. I have been bought. I have been purchased by something that no man can bring a dollar bill to that's got zillions, millions, trillions, or whatever on. There's no cost, no money, no dollar, no gold bar, no silver, no jewel, no nothing can compare to. And I have been bought by that. Guess what, saints? You have been too. You have been too. One thing I come to find out, the Lord tell us, he says, we're supposed to know the truth. And he said, because we know. What does know mean? It doesn't mean I'm getting it. It means I got it. It means I got it. What is knowledge? Knowledge is knowing. And what did I just tell you know means? I got it. I got it. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I forget now, when the enemy attacked me with kidney stones. After that, I mean, the Lord started showing me some things, and I'm saying, okay, God, he brought me to such repentance, and I thank God for that. But after that experience, I don't know if anybody ever had a kidney stone, but I tell you what, if you never had one, you don't want one. Ooh, Lord, you don't want one. But after that, I started asking, I said, Lord, I know that you are Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. And then a sister came down from Bugalusa. And she was talking one day, and she said, but I thought this, and the Lord told me, I'm your help. I'm your Jehovah Rapha, God. I'm the Lord, your help. And I said, I know what to ask for now. So I thought, I said, Lord, I thank you. Because you are not just my healer, you are my help. You are my help. And I don't want to get sick to be healed all the time. I want to be healthy where I don't have to get sick. And if something do happen to me, guess what? He's still my healer.
Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. But we just want to heal me, heal me, heal me. No, I want to walk in divine health.
All right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I heard a sister say one time, she said, need something, write this down, DMA. The letter DMA. What does it mean? Divine mental attitude. Because he's divine, we need to have a mental attitude of the divine one. Walking and talking. The word of God. A situation arises, the word is going to handle this thing. But now if I speak it and I don't believe it, it's not going to be an effect for me. It's not going to be, it's going to be a letter, not life. But if I believe what God has said, God asked me a question one day. He said, how powerful is the words that come out of the mouth of a powerful God? I said, whoa, that was an awesome question. And I said, if it's you, God, it's awesome. It's powerful. It's unmatchable. He said, that's the word I want in your mouth. And he gave it to us, saints. Hallelujah. I'm all off my lesson. What I thought. Glory to God. Praise God. What is Satan looking for? Say it again. That's exactly what he's looking for. He's looking for someone that he can kill, he can steal from, and he can destroy. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go back to Genesis real fast. I'm trying to get back on track here, saints. Praise the Lord.
Somebody
knew you got all. Oh, bless God. Well, cut that part out then. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, back into Genesis chapter 3. I want to bring something out that the Lord revealed to me. He revealed this to me some time back, and I don't think I've ever taught this anywhere. You know, sometimes you don't, there are things the Lord will show you that you feel like you can't share with anybody. And there are times when he does show you these things, it's good not to share with anybody. Because the Lord will show you prophetic things, and he'll speak prophetic things to you, but it's not time for it to be revealed yet to anybody else. Because they'll think you then went off the deep end. She needs to be in the loony bin, something wrong with that girl, she lost her last mind. You know, and they'll say those things, you know what I'm saying? Because you're speaking prophetically, and they like, huh? What? But that's what he'll do. He'll give us revelation, and I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, but he'll do it like he did Paul. He gives many revelations, and sometimes when he speaks those things to us, and we want to run tell somebody because it's awesome to us. Ooh, let me tell you what God said. But we need to be still, and we need to say, God,
Lord, do I share this with someone? Who do I give this to? This is strange to me even. But in your heart and in your spirit, you know it's God speaking. And you know it because it lines up. See, so I hear something that don't line up, I pass. Because see, what we lend our members to, we're servants to it. So if I lend my ears to something that's not godly, guess I'm a servant to that ungodly thing. Amen. This is one of my members. Hallelujah. Okay, let me get back. Praise the Lord. Three. Praise God. I'm going to start with, I'm not going to start there, praise the Lord. We already know where the Lord had the conversation with Adam and the woman and the serpent. And then the Word of God goes on and says, I'm going to start in verse 14, though, when he started to speak the curse upon the serpent. And the Lord God said unto this serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Now, I want to bring something to your attention. Now, first person that he spoke to was Adam. That's the first question that he asked about what had happened. He asked Adam. And Adam shifted over to Eve. So a spirit of blame shifting came in. Guilt giving came in. I don't want to carry this guilt, God. I don't repent of it, so I'm going to pass it over. She made me do it. He made me do it. They made me do it. Doesn't matter. The devil made me do it. It doesn't matter. But it's a blame shifting. Why? Because don't want to stand in responsibility. All right? Then he goes on and he talks to the woman and he says, woman, what did you do? Well, Lord, the serpent. But at least she was a little bit more honest than Adam was at that point in time. Because she said, Lord, I was beguiled. And that was the truth. But then he didn't address them right then. He went to the next one, which was the serpent, which was also a creature that he had created, which was also considered good before he was infiltrated by the enemy. Praise the Lord. Now, Satan knew that he could not go directly to Adam because Adam had been given the commandment. So he went another route. Think about it. He can't come straight to you, so he'll use the children. He'll use a good friend. He'll use a co-worker. He'll use a neighbor. Someone down, Joe Blow down the street. Doesn't matter. So he'll go another route. Okay? But the Word of God goes on and he said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Now, I read what curse, the definition of curse, right? Y'all remember what it meant? Above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, here he didn't say between you and the man. He said, I'm going to put enmity, I'm going to make you and the woman enemies. And not only the woman, but the woman's seed. Now, underline seed there. Because in the natural, a woman does not give forth a seed. It's a prophetic word. It was speaking of the seed of the woman or the virgin birth. Because a seed came from heaven and was implanted into the woman without natural intercourse. Amen? And it goes on and says, between thy seed and her seed, they're going to be enemies. Then he spoke about the prophetic word of the Lord coming and being bruised by Satan, but the Lord being victorious over him also. In that same verse. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It was speaking of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the garden. Amen. See, provision was already made. I told you there's no afterthought with God. Did God know they were going to mess up? Sure he did. But he gave them chance to, and they didn't. God's still giving us chance to repent. I suggest, man, praise God. Unto the woman he said, now, walk with me. That's what I usually say. Walk with me in the spirit. Not in the flesh here. Please walk with me in the spirit. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. And, underline A-N-D. Now I'm going to give you a definition. Sorrow. Sorrow means to worry, to be ill, mental suffering caused by loss, disappointment, sadness, grief, regret, depression, hopelessness. That which produces such
suffering or trouble or loss or affliction. The outward expression of such suffering, mourning, lamentations, contritions, earnest repentance, being like being sorry for your sin, to feel or to show sorrow or grief, woes, sadness. That's the definition of sorrow.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.